I'm Aaron Schachter, and you're listening to The World. You don't need to be a high-functioning sociopath to deduce the origins of this tune. The theme music, of course, to the hit BBC series Sherlock. It's yet another reboot of the character Sir Arthur Conan Doyle created some 130 years ago. Victorian it is not. The Sherlock Holmes played by Benedict Cumberbatch is tech-savvy. He fits right into modern-day London, emoticons and all. Zach Dundas says Sherlock Holmes has a format tailor-made for that kind of reinvention. He's the author of the new book, The Great Detective, The Amazing Rise and Immortal Life of Sherlock Holmes.
You sit Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson in the sitting room at 221B Baker Street waiting for someone to show up with a mystery. And from there, anything can happen. So if you're looking for a format in which to tell a story or, you know, create some sort of adventure for a character, this is a tailor-made setup that has really never been improved upon in the mystery genre.
Two of the most memorable Sherlock Holmes, or Holmeses, I guess, were played by Basil Rathbone and Jeremy Brett. But they're very different. What did each bring to it that made Sherlock unique?
One thing that's fascinating about Sherlock Holmes is that every generation seems to reinvent him and Dr. Watson for their own needs. And so if you look at the different Sherlocks that have come along over the years, you can kind of see what the popular culture of the time was interested in. So Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce in the 1930s and 40s made a series of movies in which they were cast as these sort of throwback Victorian characters, but operating in what was then modern times. So Sherlock Holmes would fight the Nazis. Sherlock Holmes would have these crazy adventures in 1940s Britain. He was almost like a magical creature that brought a little bit of the Victorian era into modern times. And in doing so, created a sort of new way for Britain and by extension America to take on the Nazis and to take on the challenges of that time. Jeremy Brett, on the other hand, was cast in a extremely authentic or what aimed to be an extremely authentic version of the character made in the 1980s. But you can see in his portrayal a high degree of neuroticism. They really emphasize the cocaine use, which was very briefly mentioned in Arthur Conan Doyle's original stories. So you can see what the 1980s was interested in through Brett's portrayal, just as in Rathbone's portrayal, you see what the 1940s were interested in.
And we're at the point now where Holmes is getting reinvented weekly, monthly, online. People are just sort of imbuing the character with whoever they want him to be.
There's an amazing amount of fan fiction being written about Sherlock Holmes, and it's fascinating because it's being written in many different languages, every major language. Huge amounts of this material are piling up online, and the fan fiction is written about different versions of the character. So there's a huge volume of fan fiction about the Benedict Cumberbatch portrayal. But there are also fan fiction stories that are written as though they are Arthur Conan Doyle stories or written about those characters as portrayed in the original stories, but written from a different perspective or about minor characters in the original. So there's this incredible sort of prismatic view of the character provided through fan fiction that is something that we've really never seen before and is, I think, an intriguing new direction for how a character could evolve in popular culture.
We're saying Sherlock Holmes is redone over and over again, but I mean, wouldn't some people argue that, you know, Shakespeare created just about every other story that isn't Sherlock Holmes?
Well, certainly you could look at Shakespeare's characters. You could look at Jane Austen's characters. Frankenstein has been frequently reinvented, of course. But it's rare to see a character that spans the entire breadth of modern popular culture. I mean, Sherlock Holmes was invented by Conan Doyle really not at the very dawn, but very early on in the era of mass publishing and mass literary audience. And so you can see over the 130 years the character has existed, an almost laboratory-like demonstration of how our culture works and how our culture evolves and how we like to take stories from previous eras, reinvent them, remix them, and redo them to match the needs and desires of today.
As you mentioned, a lot of the excitement over Sherlock Holmes these days comes from the Benedict Cumberbatch portrayal. What has he done that's created such an enthusiasm and dare I say, eroticism around Sherlock Holmes?
Well, when I interviewed Stephen Moffat, one of the co-creators of the series, he made the point that their intention from the very beginning was to strip away sort of the Victorian kitsch and nostalgia that had grown up around the character and present Holmes in a way that was true to the spirit of the way Conan Doyle presented him, which was as a sort of radically modern, new kind of character, which fits in very well, I would say, with what we're looking for today in popular culture. So Cumberbatch's portrayal of this hyperverbal, tech-savvy, sort of fashion-savvy, high-functioning sociopath of a character really gets back to some of the elements that Conan Doyle originally portrayed and just presents them as fresh and new as they would have been to readers in the Victorian era.
Considering, though, how popular Benedict Cumberbatch is there life after Benedict for Sherlock Holmes? Does anyone else just pale in comparison?
Well, you know, it seems so now, but it would have seemed so about Basil Rathbone at that time. Every generation seems to come back to the character and remake it in its own image. So I would imagine that in 20 years there will be another Sherlock Holmes, or maybe even in 10 years some other interpretation of the character will arise. Maybe someone will come back and shoot an extremely authentic Victorian version of Holmes, or maybe there'll be something that we can't even quite imagine that boils out of the fan fiction world or some other source that will reinterpret the character for whatever is going on in 10 or 20 years.
Zach Dundas wrote the new book, The Great Detective, The Amazing Rise and Immortal Life of Sherlock Holmes. It's out next week. As you've heard, there have been a lot of Sherlocks over the years. Who's your favorite? Basil Rathbone, Benedict Cumberbatch, or perhaps even Robert Downey Jr.? Kind of a favorite of mine. Let us know who your top Sherlock is at PRI.org. We've also got a video of what's believed to be the only filmed interview with Holmes' creator, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. It was shot in 1930, the same year Conan Doyle died. One thing he makes clear, there have been Holmes fanboys and fangirls for a long time.
I get letters addressed to him. I get letters asking for his autograph. Get letters addressed to his rather stupid friend, Watson. I've even had ladies writing to say that they'd be very glad to act as his housekeeper.
The video makes another thing clear. Conan Doyle was ambivalent toward his creation. His own career was tied to Holmes' success, and though Conan Doyle tried to kill Sherlock off, the fans begged him for more.
I've written a good deal more about him than I ever intended to do, but my hand has been rather forced by kind friends who continually wanted to know more. And so it is that this monstrous growth has come out of what was really a comparatively small seed.
Nice to let Holmes' own creator have the last word today. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH in Boston, I'm Aaron Schachter. Games afoot again tomorrow, right here on The World.